This is Fresh Air. You're tuned to WHYY-FM in Philadelphia, and this is the second half of our two-day special series on AIDS. Today we're looking at the political, social, and legal impact of the epidemic. Misinformation and irrational fears have not only tapped into homophobia and raised civil liberties questions, but they have scared some people out of donating or receiving blood from the Red Cross. AIDS can be transmitted through the blood, and in the past, there were cases where people got AIDS through blood transfusions, but the Red Cross says this is no longer a problem. Last April, a test was put into effect that detects the presence of antibodies to the HTLV-3 virus, the virus that causes AIDS. Anyone who has AIDS or who has been directly exposed to the virus tests positive. All donated blood is now screened for the virus. If the blood tests positive, it's discarded and never enters the blood supply. Fresh Air's Amy Sallet spoke with Kathleen Denton, the Director of Communications for the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Red Cross. They talked about the state of Philadelphia's blood supply.
How does the Red Cross assure that the blood supply does not contain the AIDS virus?
We actually have quite a number of steps, and the first one is the volunteer blood donor. And I stress that it's a volunteer, a person who has no reason to give blood except for altruistic good reasons to help someone. We don't pay blood donors. One of the major things is that we have asked the donors to be very truthful, and if they are a member of the high-risk groups for AIDS, we ask them to defer themselves from the donor base. And we've actually had quite a great cooperation from this very first step. Last year, we instituted the first test for the antibody for AIDS called the HTLV-3 test. And now, since actually April 1st of 1985, every unit of blood that we collect is tested for this antibody. And of course, if the test is positive, the blood is destroyed.
How accurate is the test? Have you been able to find yet that maybe some of this blood that is not testing positive is still transmitting the AIDS virus?
So far, so good. We feel that the test is actually super sensitive. We are probably finding more positives than are true positives. And of course, we'd much rather err on that side of things. Right now, however, there are only about 0.02% of all of the blood donors that we see who are testing positive for this test. And to bring that down in terms, we collect about 30,000 pints of blood a month. And of this, maybe 60 are testing positive. After that test is performed, then we take it to another level, a much more a test called the Western blot, which is able to be much more specific. And of that, we're maybe getting 12 positives out of 30,000 donors.
There are other blood banks that pay people to donate blood. They're not connected with the Red Cross. And we could imagine that maybe many people who do use drugs or possibly prostitutes or maybe even people with AIDS might be giving blood to these blood banks in order to get some money. Now, what's the relationship of these blood banks to the Red Cross and the overall blood supply that's going to the hospitals? And do you know if these blood banks are testing their blood?
We really have, with the American Red Cross, no connection with these commercial blood banks. Most of the blood that they collect is actually used for the plasma, and that's spun down into specific products, not the variety that you would see normally in a hospital or used for transfusion. One thing I can say, in the Penn Jersey region, all of the blood that's used in hospitals come from volunteer blood donors. And I think that's really important, because the commercial blood, no matter how well it's tested, still is recognized to have a much higher content of hepatitis and other kinds of diseases like this that can be transmitted.
AIDS first began to come into the consciousness of people here in the United States, I think, around 1981. And the test for the HTLV-3 virus was developed in April of 1985. Now, what went on in the Philadelphia area or the southeastern Pennsylvania area Were there cases of people getting AIDS from transfusions?
I believe at this point, from all of the years back as well as right now, there was one confirmed case. I might say that in our area we make 800,000 products per year, blood products. And so that is a, I guess you could say, a very small percentage of people who did contract that disease.
Is there any chance of getting AIDS when you're giving blood?
Very good question. And I'd like to say absolutely not. You cannot get AIDS by giving blood. And the reasons for this are fairly simple. We have our registered nurses who are taking the blood from the donor's arm and using a sterile needle, which is used one time and then discarded. And everything that comes in contact with that donor is sterile, very clean, and actually is pitched right after the donation. And there's no possibility of shared needles or contamination of blood.
Since you've been asking certain groups of people not to give blood, and since some of the blood, a small percentage, but some of the blood is not usable, has the blood supply dropped off dramatically in the last 4 years?
We really can't say that it's dropped off dramatically. There have been dips. We traditionally know that we're going to have trouble collecting blood in the summer, hot summer days when people are on vacations and the workforce is not as heavy. We also know that we're going to have problems right after the Christmas season and through February. What's happened is that this has been increased. The problem of fear, the walking fearful, who are afraid that they might be able to get AIDS by giving blood, have pulled back. We don't really feel that these people were in the donor base to begin with. Our regular donors are still giving. What we find is that we need more of the first-time donors. And with all of the efforts that we're making to get donors, we should have more. And I think that's where we've run into the problem.
If someone gives blood and you test it and you find that it does test positive for the HTLV-3 virus, do you tell them?
What we do is confirm the test in our own labs. So we do it once, and if it is positive, we do it again. And if it's positive, we send it off to a laboratory in Illinois. And basically, they do the Western blot test. And as I said, that's much more specific. If that's positive, indeed, we do inform the donor, and they receive a personal letter from our director.
What if they don't want to know?
If a person would not wish to know, basically, they shouldn't give blood, because we owe it to our donor population to inform them on any irregularity in their blood. And this is known before a person gives us permission to collect their blood.
Is information that someone's blood is tested positive, is that protected in any way from other people finding this out?
It's highly confidential. As a matter of fact, we only use coded numbers when it comes to this test, as well as the other tests that we have, which is for syphilis and hepatitis and, of course, the ABO or H type. But with the HTLV-3 test, we use a code, and it is strictly confidential, and people, even in our laboratories, cannot track a name with the code. There's about one or two people in the laboratory who have access to this information.
Have any groups, such as insurance companies or maybe the federal government, come to the Red Cross to ask for the names of people who tested positive?
To date, the only group that has requested and receives this information is the Department of Army. When we go to military bases, we inform donors in advance that if they test positive for HTLV-3, that it is an Army regulation that the commanding officer and the medical person under the commanding officer, I should say, would receive this information, and we must turn it over to them.
And on the military bases, is that just the people who choose to donate blood, or do they all have to be tested?
When it comes to the blood mobiles, it's only the people who choose to give blood.
Would it be possible for the government to, at some point, let's say that the government decides that they really want to quarantine these people, and they came to the Red Cross and demanded the names of people who tested positive, what would the Red Cross do?
We would probably consult with our lawyers. I do know that confidentiality is definitely one of the most important things that we hold very highly, and we regard the privacy of the donor as to be sacred. The only time that we have ever released or done things that perhaps we wouldn't normally do is under court order. And I would think that in a situation like that, we would have very firm legal advice.
That was Kathleen Denton, Director of Communications for the Southeastern Pennsylvania Chapter of the Red Cross. She spoke with Fresh Air's Amy Salad.